Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Wednesday, February the 21st, 2024. Thanks for listening to AFR. All right, so I may be the host, but we have a plethora of panelists here. Yes, a bearable plethora. Wesley Wildman, good morning, Wesley.
Glad to be on, and if you're watching, it is me. I've shaved my whole beard all the way off.
Is that a religious thing, or what is that?
No, I just got tired of dealing with it.
Okay, well, that's religious.
Yeah, religious. I just total reset. Right before New Year's, I had it all the way out, and then it bothered me, so I trimmed it back, and then yesterday just went all the way.
Now you got a 3-day I don't care beard.
That's exactly right.
Right, right.
That tells you my attitude when I shave.
Yes,
it.
I understand. Fred Jackson, good morning. Clean shaven, Fred Jackson over there.
I'm afraid so. Yeah, I shave when I get up around 3:30 in the morning.
Every day.
Yeah. So by
five, every day, you're an everyday shave guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the military background, you know.
There you go.
Regimented.
Yeah. You better not show up on shaven.
That's right.
Well, that was a standard back then, wasn't it?
Well, especially in boot camp.
Yeah. Yeah, you better be clean shaven.
Yes.
Like the New York Yankees used to require. I don't know if they still do or not. All right, and our good friend, a colleague, the bearded one on the panel today, Ed Battagliano joins us from Nashville.
And I've given up all kinds of things that irritated me for religious reasons. And I'll say this, I've known Fred for, I guess, 27 years. I've never seen him unshaven.
He
is clean shaven every single day.
Goes back to his military days.
That's right. They trained him well.
So you're in Nashville at the Opryland Hotel for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, right?
That's right. This place is hopping. There are people all over the place. I almost walked accidentally to register into because there's all kinds of conferences going on. I think maybe two others. I almost walked into the wrong one, and I didn't recognize anyone or the logo, and I thought, it was some sort of, I think some kind of mining.
But did you see food anywhere?
I know, Wesley. Oh. There's good food. I'm staying.
I thought of that.
Kind of like wedding crashing.
That's right, yeah.
You just you meet and crash. Yeah.
That's right. I prefer your food.
That's right.
So it's the monstrous Opryland Hotel.
You can get lost there.
I have. I've gotten lost here.
Funny story. One time I was there for an NRB convention, I think. This is 10 years ago, maybe longer, 15 years ago. Allison and I were there, or was she with me? I can't. Anyway, I was walking down the hall. And one of the many, many halls that you it's kind of like the Hotel California. You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave.
Yes.
Well, you know, I got confused or didn't know, didn't see a sign. So I asked, there were two guys working there. You know, they had their shirts on, Opryland Hotel staff, and they were working there. They were walking by, and I said, excuse me. Or I said, I'm staying here, but I can't. Here's my card. I don't know where to go. Where's my? It says B 1947 1919 74 22
all 32
double B X caliber, and I said, "What? Can you tell me where to go?" And he said, "No, I really don't know. I don't know where. I'm good. You probably need to go back to the front desk."
And where's that?
Where's the front desk?
They probably staff like a tenth of Nashville.
Oh, wow.
I mean, talking about with their...
I think I looked it up one time. I think they are like the Opryland Hotel there. It is still called the Gaylord Opryland Hotel, right?
Yes, it is.
I think it's number 10...
Top employee.
Largest number of hotel rooms.
Okay.
In the country.
If you have not been where we're talking about, you do need to look it up. It would be
because it's hard by and seeing.
Yeah, and it's hard to believe that it's a continuous hotel. We're not talking about three or four different hotels really close together. where they have right. like where they have like a walkway that connect. This is a continuous building.
Yeah. And they have a water park, an indoor water park.
Yes.
I know.
Connected to this.
Mm-hmm. They have an atrium there where there's one guy's been living there since 1982, I think. He's living in the atrium.
Let's put it this way. If they had a homeless problem here right. in Nashville, this is where people would be camping
right.
out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's quite a nice place. I like to come to hear some of the different workshops.
Right.
Tonight, for example, I'm going to be attending one, Israel's War with Hamas and Future Relations with the U.S. Yes, We Will Win the Culture War, Faith, Fatherhood, and Masculinity, 7 Things About AI Every Christian Should Know That Impacts Ministry, Broadcasting, and Media. And then tomorrow night from 7 to 9 p.m., former President Trump will be addressing NRB. So there's also my wife and I will go to yeah. look at the exhibition hall to see some of the new things that people are doing, and then these kind of breakout sessions and lectures are really outstanding.
See, there's one workshop here I see listed, "What to Bring to a Gay Wedding" by Alistair Begg. are you going to that one?
Gift.
Oh man, that's.
I apologize.
It was on the line. I don't think it was all the way over, but it was definitely.
Yeah, it was close.
It's at the line, but it's
I'm
not
sorry.
Over.
I should. Alistair Begg's a wonderful Bible teacher.
Hey,
just got that one wrong.
Hey Ed, yes. So we expect tomorrow a full report on each of those topics that you're going to go sit in.
Right. Take
okay,
notes.
Okay, well.
Hey, he'll do it, probably.
I do have a notebook. I will take some notes. Right. I don't know that I can provide a full report.
Those are great topics.
Yeah, when you go to a convention like this, really, yes, the workshops are good and important, but it's the fellowship with
that's right.
people who are in Christian media with you from around the world. The
connections that you make.
That you make. And so anyway, I think Jeff Shreve was there. Brother Jeff, have you seen him? Jeff Shreve?
I have not.
Okay.
After this, though, my wife and I are going to a luncheon hosted by Hamilton Strategies. They handle all of AFA and AFR's media.
Gotcha.
So I'll get to see them. They are based in Pennsylvania, and I don't get to see them very often, but I will get a chance to.
All right, Fred, what's your first story?
Well, we are just 3 days away from the Republican primary in South Carolina, much talked about. Now, I just had a look at Real Clear Politics before coming into the studio, and right now there is a 28-point spread, Donald Trump ahead of former Governor Nikki Haley. Well, yesterday, in advance of the primary on Saturday, Nikki Haley had a speech where she was declaring, and it was almost, and she didn't say this, obviously, but it sounded like, I know I'm going to lose on Saturday, but I am staying in the race. Here's a little bit of what she had to say yesterday, cut number 6.
I refuse to quit. South Carolina will vote on Saturday, but on Sunday, I'll still be running for president. I'm not going anywhere. I'm campaigning every day until the last person votes because I believe in a better America and a brighter future for our kids. People have a right to have their voices heard, and they deserve a real choice, not a Soviet-style election where there's only one candidate and he gets 99% of the vote.
Well, that's a former Governor of South Carolina and Trump's UN,
U.S. Ambassador to the UN.
U.S. Ambassador to the UN. Hmm. So anyway, so she's saying she's not dropping out. Of course, I've heard that before 1,000 times. candidates say they're not dropping out. I'm dropping out. So I mean, what are they supposed to say, right? But maybe, who knows?
Especially in front and at the before the South Carolina primary, she can't say, "Well, if I lose, I'm dropping out." That would suppress her own vote. So
yeah,
what's the comparison to the Soviet and the 99%? I don't get that.
I didn't get that.
I think what she's talking about is in the former Soviet Union, which is, I mean, it's Russia now, but that. There's only one person on the ballot. So they have an election, quote, election, but
Well, I assume that much, but the thing is that that's not true because there were 12 on the ballot, and then we're narrowing it down.
But if you don't vote for the one, you get shot.
Yeah.
That's Soviet style election.
Yeah, the Soviet Union had free and fair elections, but there was only one person you could vote for.
Right. Otherwise, you go to the gulag.
Feel free.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So I think that's what she's referring to, but. We'll see what happens on Saturday, but it is interesting, Fred, to hear her say that she's going to continue on. I guess the next big vote is what, Super Tuesday?
It's 2 weeks from yesterday. March 5 is Super Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I think if she was to lose all of those, I don't know how could she say, I'm going to continue on.
I think I mentioned this before, but did you have Trump's take on this?
Yeah. Well, what happened last night is that former President Trump was on with Fox. They kind of did a town hall in South Carolina.
Fox did a town hall with Trump?
Yes.
Well, that's a novel idea.
But what he did spend time, he talked a little bit about Haley. I'll give you 10 seconds of that. Cut number two.
She's not working. She's here. She's down by 30, 35 points. And everybody knows her. You're not supposed to lose your home state. Shouldn't happen anyway. And she's losing it big.
Losing it bigly.
Yeah, that's a Trump word.
That's all he had to say about that. But he had some other, actually breaking news to talk about last
night. Let's break it down, Fred.
Well, he was on with Laura Ingraham. And what he was talking about, obviously, is what he's facing in the way of the various trials. And in particular, he addressed what happened in New York last week, found guilty, and he has been fined over $350 million. He has to pay that even before he can appeal. So he talked about that, and he talked about and gave us an indication of what his defense is going to be. And he's referring to the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution. So anyway, here's a little bit about what he had to say. But also the Attorney General of New York, Letitia James, has been out there. You remember before she was elected, she said, I'm going to go after Donald Trump. She's given interviews about what happened last week with regards to the court decision. And then constitutional expert Jonathan Turley is going to weigh in on this. So here it is, cut number four, starting with Donald Trump.
Letitia James's horrible attorney general in New York campaigned on I will get Trump. We went through a trial. It turned out we're totally innocent on everything. And he fined me $355 million plus interest and other things. But they say it's the most egregious punishment anybody's ever seen. Tim Scott knows that. He sees it. The Eighth Amendment. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishment inflicted. That's the Eighth Amendment. Excessive fines.
If he does not have funds to pay off the judgment, then we will seek judgment enforcement mechanisms in court, and we will ask the judge to seize his assets.
He has certainly a good case about the excessiveness of this judgment, whether it's under the Eighth Amendment or due process clause, we'll have to see. What's interesting in this case is that James is going to argue this isn't like punitive damages, this is disgorgement. We were simply taking the money, the ill-gotten gains back from him.
All right, Wesley.
Well,
thoughts on this?
I have not. Let me just give you my first reaction. When you say you're going to go after excessive force based on the Eighth Amendment, there's a little bit of a conceit. You're conceding a little bit there. And so I don't understand that.
Trump's comments?
Yes.
So, what's he conceding?
That there is an amount of money that he would give in order.
Oh, you're saying he's saying it's excessive when he should have said, and maybe he did.
That I didn't do it.
Yeah, period.
I'm not
should be fined at all.
Right, exactly.
I got you, Fred.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with the way this is set up is that he has got 30 days, I believe, to pay this fine in order to allow him to appeal.
Gotcha.
And what she is saying is that if he doesn't come up with the cash to pay the fine and the interest, because I think the interest added on to the $355 million is now up to about $450 million.
And that makes more sense.
Yes.
I'm tracking with you now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, and you heard her say, Letitia James, the current attorney general of New York, saying if he doesn't come up with the cash, we're going to start seizing his property, like Trump Tower, etc.
I've never heard of being able to be forced to pay something in which you're going to appeal.
It's a state law in New York. Yeah. Listen, New York's whacked out liberal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things you could say, what?
I haven't heard that anywhere else.
Yeah, then you have to fill in the blank. It's always New York or California.
Sure.
So, Ed, this is Jenna Ellis was on yesterday, and Jenna's a constitutional lawyer, and she was talking about this case in New York, the one we're talking about, where you just heard comments from the attorney general there, and she called it a sham. What's happened there? When somebody says I'm going to go after Trump while they're campaigning,
that's their campaign.
And then they do.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. There's so many things wrong with this. I've heard Jonathan Turley, the law professor, talking about this as well. If President Trump is in fact guilty of this, that means there has to be a victim, and there is no victim. The government is suing him, supposedly, on behalf of the people who have been victimized by Trump's, again, this is all so-called fraudulent practices. The banks would be the victim, but the banks, agreed to loan Trump the money based on their efforts and his collateral presented, for the loans. So who's going to get this money? The government is out of control all across the country. I would say red states probably excluded, but certainly in blue states and the federal government. We see people complaining about government forfeiture laws all across the country. This looks like it is just pure partisan politics. Letitia James campaigned to get Trump without knowing all the facts. I mean, she was not running any kind of investigation and said, hey, based on our investigation, Trump is guilty. I'm going to put him behind bars. No, she was running for office. She had no access to all the facts of the case. She assumed his guilt, and now the outcome has matched her assumptions. And then I think the reason why President Trump was mentioning the Eighth Amendment is to begin to build his case for appeals, probably on several different angles, one of them being the constitutional angle.
Well, if Trump had to go back, I bet, to 2016, after he won the presidential election, he should have moved all his business out of New York.
I mean,
that's hindsight, retrospect.
Sure.
But
I think it's a terrible political calculation by the left and New York, and I'm not saying they're working together, the Democrat, and then New York.
There's seven Republicans in New York. They're working together.
Well, I meant the presidential.
You got Rudolph Democrat. Giuliani.
Yep.
You got Donald Trump. Stefanik.
Yeah.
And you got the guy who ran for governor.
And that's it. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, but it's
four Republicans I can come up with right off the top of my head.
Donald Trump, we've seen this over the last 10 months, but Donald Trump's numbers go up when he's attacked by politics,
right.
by politicians.
Yeah, so really it's a contribution in kind.
Yeah, it really is.
But these attacks. But, in all seriousness, Fred, he does have to decide if he's going to appeal, he's got to put big money up. To appeal, and his hopes would be this would be overturned at the New York Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that would happen or not, who knows? But in this case, Trump said Trump or his organization said my net worth is worth such and such, my property is worth such and such, and so I want loans from banks. Banks said, okay, here are your loans. And the banks, if they had any question about it, would have done their own due diligence and sent their appraisers out or done more research. But you know what? They didn't, because they gave it to Trump based on what he said. And then he paid all the loans back with interest.
Yes.
Nobody's complaining.
That's right.
Except for the AG of New York.
That's right.
Well, the banks testified during the trial We're happy with Mr. Trump.
Yeah.
They apparently had a name for Trump. They call him the whale.
Yeah.
And they said we like loaning to the whale because we want to do more business
you
with
him.
You
know what? Yes. You know what? This to me, I'll just use a common person's analogy. To me, this is Trump driving 58 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour speed zone. Okay. And and then getting hit with a $10,000 ticket. Mm-hmm. That's what this amounts to. In my mind, and Jonathan Turley, I have a great respect for him, constitutional lawyer who's on Fox News a lot. That's basically the analysis I think that he comes up with.
Yep.
You are listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, Fred, and Ed, and we're going to be joined in a few minutes by Dick Brubaker, who is a running. He's a congressional candidate in the 2nd District of Alabama. He wants to go to Washington, D.C. to represent the fine folks there who live there. And I want to know, are you nuts? that's my question. You want to go to D.C.?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. We need good people, and we need Christian people representing us. And send as many of them up there as we can. All right, Fred, what do you got?
Well, one more thing coming out of last night's town hall with Donald Trump, and I think you wanted to mention this. He has been asked in the past running mates, and he is kind of...
Potential running mates?
Yes. Last night he gave us a list of potential running mates.
Who are they?
Ron DeSantis, Vivek Ramaswamy, Kristi Noem, and former Democrat Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard.
He named those four?
He named those four last night, yeah. Yep.
Well, that's interesting. Somebody mentioned Governor DeSantis to me as a potential candidate when DeSantis dropped out. And I said, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Tim Scott also, he mentioned.
Tim Scott, mm-hmm. Senator Tim Scott. But let me finish my thought. The reason I said that's not going to happen, which, you know, I could be wrong. If I'm wrong again, I don't know. I'm gonna have to quit predicting stuff.
You'll get more popcorn.
Well, might get more popcorn. I am right a lot, but I don't like to brag on myself.
We'll ask Mom about that. Yeah.
That's not fair.
That really is
inside knowledge here.
Yeah, that's not fair, Wesley. So the reason I said that I don't think Governor DeSantis would accept a VP nomination, but stranger things have happened,
mm-hmm.
is the personality differences big time. Trump is blow and go and bravado and bragging and cutting people down, and that's how he rolls.
Yeah.
Okay. DeSantis is a policy wonk. Okay, and I mean that respectfully.
Yeah.
He is a detail guy. He's very disciplined. He is going to get – he's focused on the mission and the technical aspects of it, of governing. That's why he's been so successful in Florida. So from a personality standpoint, of course, Pence didn't either.
That's what I was going to say.
Pence was, bless his heart, just boring as the day is long.
Yeah.
I mean, I respect the guy, but I'm just saying, personality-wise, compared to Trump. Of course, anybody compared to Trump's pretty boring.
Now, out of those five, though, I would say Kristi Noem would be – out of those five, Kristi Noem would be what I would think that he would go with out of those five.
But you know who I think would help him the most?
That's different. Yeah,
good. Yeah, that's different. Okay. I think what helped him the most would be getting together with Governor DeSantis.
I agree with that. That's what would help him, but I think out of that list, it would be Kristi Noem.
But I don't know. He called DeSantis everything
in the
book, and then some for a year. So I don't know if DeSantis would want to, you know, say all's forgiven. Maybe he would. Maybe he would. Politics, stranger things have happened. But I think if he and DeSantis could get together, that'd be quite a ticket. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of the show. Live Radio, Tim, Wesley, Fred, and Ed, thank you for listening. Well, the other day I saw a story about a U.S. House of Representatives member, Republican from Tennessee, and he said, I'm going home. This place is completely dysfunctional. I've done everything I can do. And then I hear about another gentleman, a Montgomery businessman in Alabama, Dick Brubaker, says, I'm running because I want to go up there to the crazy house and try to fix it, be a part of the solution. And Dick, are you with us?
I'm right here.
Hey, Tim Wildman here. Corky Hawthorne, our mutual friend, said, hey, got a gentleman running for Congress. He's a Christian conservative, and he wants to go to D.C. Now, you've been a state representative and a state senator, right, in Alabama?
Yes, I served 3 terms, 1 in the state house and 2 in the state senate.
And so you're running for Congress, and did the seat become open?
Well, it's, I tell you, I guess it's proof that Alabama was electing people that the Democrats didn't like, because they drew a whole new congressional district just so they could write Barry Moore out of it. And so this is a brand new district that the federal government has drawn with the stated purpose of electing a Democrat. But District 2 is going to elect a Republican because I don't think the feds did get a good enough job. There are a lot of conservatives in that district, and we're going to hold the seat.
Okay. That's Alabama's redrawn 2nd district. What you heard me talk about I forgot the gentleman's name. I should know it, but he's retiring.
From Tennessee.
From Tennessee, Republican there. Why do you want to go up there?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. When I ran for the state senate in 2010, I said I'd serve 2 terms and then I'd leave. And so I served my 2 terms and then I left. I didn't defend the seat. And I never thought I'd get back into politics. I mean, I felt like I'd done my bit in public service. But, you know, then I had a bunch of grandchildren. And that will lengthen your perspective about what your duties and responsibilities are. I mean, I agree with that gentleman from Tennessee. It is dysfunctional. But this is our country. We live here. Our kids live here. Our grandchildren will grow up here. We can't just throw up our hands and give up on it.
Right. No, we're
in trouble. Yeah, but,
yes,
you know, the values that built this country, we'll save it. We've just got to return to them.
I have to remind myself often, I think we all do, when you feel like you're hitting your head up against the wall, you have to remind yourself, listen, this is America. And we have children and grandchildren. We have our posterity. We can't quit. We just can't.
We can't quit.
You can't quit.
And I remember
go ahead.
Listening to Don Wildman years and years ago, but it's always stuck in my head. He made the comment in one of his broadcasts that we're not called to be successful, just faithful.
Amen.
And so as conservatives, I mean, we've got the truth. We know what the values and the work ethic and the idea that our rights come from God and not from government, that's made America what it is. And we just can't stand by and watch it be stolen.
Talking to Montgomery, Alabama businessman Dick Brubaker, who's running for Congress in the Alabama's redrawn 2nd District. And Dick says that it was redrawn to favor the Democrats, but he's going to
win it.
He's going to change that. What is your website if people want to find out more about your campaign and the ideas you believe in?
BrewbakerForCongress.com.
BrewbakerForCongress.com.
For Congress.
How long you lived in Montgomery?
Oh, all my life. I was born in Texas when my dad was an Air Force officer, but I've lived in Montgomery since I was two. And after I graduated from college, I came back to Montgomery, started teaching school, joined the National Guard, and then got in the automobile business with my dad and did that until last year.
Well, give me two or three principles that you believe in terms of governance.
Oh, I'll give you three real easy. Liberty, you know, the rights that our founding fathers put into the Constitution are under threat. And if I go to Congress, my main goals will be to protect the individual liberties, especially in the First and Second Amendment that we've always taken for granted, that we can't take for granted anymore. The second one is security. The Biden administration is standing by and allowing an invasion. And it's not just 400,000 people a month that's the problem. It's the human trafficking, the fentanyl. I mean, 200 Americans a day dying from fentanyl poisoning, all of it coming across the southern border. And given the Hamas terrorist threat that we face right now because of this country's support for Israel, which I'm in total support of, we have got to secure the border. And Amen. The last thing is limited government. We've got to get the federal government back in its lane. It has no business trying to tell people how to educate their kids and how to run their businesses and live their lives. The federal Constitution spells out very specific things that the federal government is supposed to do. We need to get the federal government out of gender politics and back into the business of securing the country. Yeah. So liberty, security, limited government.
All right. Well, listen, thank you, Dick. Appreciate it very much. We wish you the best, and we will follow your campaign.
Well, thanks very much for letting me be on your program.
You're welcome. Thank you.
One of the most inspiring things.
Dick Brubaker, he's running for U.S. Congress in the 2nd District of Alabama. What were you going to say, Wesley?
I was just going to conclude with what he was saying by saying that I was most inspired of the reason that he was running, and that's because he said after – I have one grandchildren, two grandchildren, and after so many grandchildren, you realize, wait a minute, they're going to live
right.
I'm leaving
a country for them.
Right, and you can't, that is the ultimate mic drop when it comes to, there's other reasons we do it.
Right.
But if you get down to it with all the reasons not to, if you think that they outweigh to do it, that right there is the final motivation for to get involved.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Wesley, Fred, and Ed. Before we go back to Ed in Nashville, our correspondent at the hotel there, the Opryland Hotel. Our correspondent.
Find out where room 8247DB. Ed, catch right. that real quick while we're yeah. working.
There may be some people still wandering the halls from the last time Tim was here. I don't know.
Tell our listeners, Wesley, how they can engage us on the internet, because we're big social media people.
Well, I'll go to that there internet there since that's Ed's not, I'm in Ed's seat.
Ed calls it that there internet.
That there internet.
You can go to AFR.net is the best place to go is AFR.net. We are streaming our audio live there in real time. And then obviously from there at AFR.net, you can also find the archived radio programs that we put up day after day. When the program's over, we'll store our podcast there. Also, you can go to the YouTube channel, Today's Issues Facebook page. You can go there as well. And I believe those are
just a plethora.
Yeah, a handful of places. I'd point you to AFR.net. It's okay. Easy. It's easier. It's cleaner.
All right.
You have to look at Ed.
I'm sorry.
Man.
I meant us.
That was
if I had thin skin, that would have hurt.
That was uncalled for, honestly.
It really
but I don't disagree with him.
I
have a face made for radio.
Listen, so I'm people don't come here for our looks. They come here for our brains. Am I right?
That's
can I
right.
get an amen?
You get an amen.
You can't pick your looks, but you can't pick your brains.
Or something like that.
Something like that. I don't know.
Okay, we got. Is Alex around up there?
He is sitting right across from me.
Howdy.
Alex has McFarlane. A face for television.
Oh, no.
We can't see Alex. We can only see you on your iPad. So, Alex, by the way, I did get the peanut butter yesterday.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm remiss. I'm sorry it took so long. Well,
man, he was walking the halls complaining about that since Christmas.
He didn't get
his peanut butter.
Let me tell you, if you're going to ship out peanut butter, don't forget to send some to the boss. I mean, I repent.
The box came in yesterday. I opened it up, and I was very happy. The Alex McFarlane homemade peanut butter from the farm there in North Carolina.
Exactly.
But you sent it to me like for several years in a row. And when that happens, it's like peanut butter welfare.
It's
entitlement.
Well, in this Biden economy, Brother Tim, I'm for you. But in this Biden economy, right. We just didn't have that much to send.
I know. Why?
I will say this, that in this Biden economy, a jar of free peanut butter could be the difference between life and death.
Well, I think there's several jars in there. I know. So I'm going to eat one today with saltine crackers.
There you go.
And then I'm going to put one in my Armageddon closet.
There you go.
There we go.
You know.
There we go.
So I'll have that peanut butter. How long does peanut butter keep, by the way?
Unrefrigerated, it will keep 6 months.
Okay.
Oh, I have to text my wife really quickly.
But listen, we've never had a jar stick around 6 months, much less about 6 days.
But I put a jar up. Listen, do we have 6 months between now and the election in November? Because we could have the end of the world before then. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, Ed, I'm turning it over to you for now to talk to Alex here.
Across. See how it is. Y'all insult me and then
walk away
while you eat popcorn and fresh peanut butter. I do the heavy lifting.
Trying to give you a time to shine, Ed. Alone.
It's an opportunity, Ed.
Yeah.
All right, good. I'm going to seize this opportunity. Well, anyway, folks, you're familiar with Dr. Alex McFarlane. He's co-host of Exploring the Word, heard weekdays on American Family Radio starting at 3 p.m. Central Time, usually with Brother Bert Harper. So, Alex, welcome back. And you have the ability to talk about all kinds of issues. You talk about exploring the Word. You talk about the Word of God with Brother Bert. But you are also adept at understanding trends that are going on in our culture and in politics and why Christians should be involved in the political system. So, several years ago, you talked about some of the threats that face our country, and I just want to toss these out and then circle back to why Christians should be involved. You talked about the radical homosexual movement, LGBTQ, that mm-hmm. includes transgender. You talked about militant atheism, and you also talked about militant Islam as being mm-hmm. three huge threats facing not just the United States, but the West. So just briefly mention to our listeners why those things are existential threats, meaning they threaten the existence of our nation and of liberty around the world. And then, as I said, we'll Jen Psaki this and circle back to talk about Christians being involved as a line of defense against these huge movements.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, Ed and Tim and Wesley. I just appreciate all of you so much. But to talk about this, for one thing, let's make a delineation between morals and salvation. Because as a Christian, obviously, salvation is believing in Jesus, and we want people to know about Jesus. But very often in the culture nowadays, if you talk about morals and marriage and, you know, gender, they'll say, well, you can't impose your religion on me. Now, as a Christian, I believe in the gospel. But let's set that aside for a moment Ed, I think to your question, what so jeopardizes our nation right now is the idea that because Congress is not to show preferential treatment to any one church or religion, that's been extrapolated to mean that you can't talk about morality. And the non-establishment clause of the First Amendment has really been taken so far to mean that we don't have any moral foundation. That's why we're in a free fall. And what I want to encourage people to do, whether or not you're a Christian, look, I'm an evangelist. If you're not a Christian, I hope you would believe in the Lord and be saved. But let's just talk about morals. If we don't have a Judeo-Christian moral foundation that for a quarter millennia, 250 years, was the X factor, the secret to America's stability and greatness and safety and prosperity, if we don't restore that moral foundation, we will become a chaotic, lawless land, easily overtaken. Look, Putin is watching. He wants it. Nine nations right now have nuclear capabilities. North Korea has nukes. China, Russia. The global Marxist, we will be overtaken by whoever is the first opportunist to attack us. Now, I want to talk about the open border in relation to how vulnerable we are. But, Ed, I would say our ignoring of and even suppression of objective morality is what has brought us to a point of our nation's greatest vulnerability.
Because if we ignore morality, or if we claim that all moralities are equal, all views of morality are equal, that seems to have so eroded the foundations of our country. There is no cohesive way of viewing the world, so you wind up with situations like in Iowa, where you had a Satanist group convincing the members of that state legislature to put up a statue to Satan. I mean, it has happened so rapidly. The wheels started to turn earlier in the last century, but the collapse seems to have happened so swiftly. It makes all the conspiracy theories seem true. All the people who warned about communism and Marxism, Marxists infiltrating our institutions to so erode our moral base that you could overthrow the Constitution, all that stuff seems to be true now.
Yeah. Well, folks, you've got to understand that the Marxists have for really just about a century been at work little by little chipping away at America. They hate the fact that we're prosperous. They hate the fact that without government intervention, people can be poor and then within a few short years be very successful, if not affluent. They hate the fact that the family is the glue that has held this country together. And so for 75 to 100 years, cultural Marxists, and some are atheists, some are sexual libertines, but they've just been trying to erode the church and erode the family. Now, thank God there is, I see hope in people's commitment to family, and that's growing. But Ed, I'm a guy, I've pastored two churches, I've spoken in more than 2,000. True. I love the church, the body of believers. But I got to tell you, I'm praying for the dear Lord to light a fire under a lot of American pastors.
Amen.
That I was just on an interview a few moments ago, and I was with George Barna. And Barna and I, brilliant brother in the Lord, statistician, researcher, but we were talking about the fact that, you know, there are a half million, more like about 535,000 ordained pastors. And maybe 20% have a truly biblical worldview. Now, of youth and children's pastors, which may even be more important than the senior pastor, maybe on a good day, 12% have a biblical worldview. But of the youth pastors, children's pastors, and senior pastors, more than 95% believe, quote, you should never talk about government and politics in church. Well, yeah, the devil would want potentially some of the most potent life changers, motivators, equippers, and engagers are being silent about how our nation could be saved. And so I caught, look, I was a youth pastor for 11 years. I've been in so many churches. If you're a pastor, if you're a youth pastor, children's pastor, you need to speak about the things Jesus spoke about. And Jesus spoke about government. He did. He spoke about morals in the public square. And so, Ed, I'm praying for God to energize and engage the two entities that could be used to save our nation, the family, moms and dads, Christian homes, and the church. Now, somebody might say, oh, well, Alex, our home is in heaven. Why care about this world? Because until I get to heaven, I want to be the most fruitful participant in the Great Commission. And call me crazy, but I feel like I can do more for the gospel in a free, safe America than locked in a cell in a communist gulag.
You know, I've always, in response to that argument that people make, I've always tried to push back just a little bit and say, oh, you think our home is in heaven, therefore we should do nothing about our political system. So if your roof leaks, do you fix that? If your car starts to make noises, do you take it to a mechanic? If you start having heart palpitations, do you go see a doctor? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, if you think our home is only in heaven and therefore we stay out of all these quote-unquote worldly things, why would you fix your roof? Why would you fix your car? Why would you try to fix your body if it's all going to burn? But the fact of the matter is the people who say that, they do fix their houses.
They do.
Because they know that if God has given them something valuable, to be a good steward means to take care of those things. Well, then why not fix our government?
Ed, you and I have been friends for a lot of years, and I want to say something, and I want to deputize you. What I'm about to say, if I'm out of order, you reprimand me. You're older than me by just a little bit, not much.
Ed is the conscience of our show.
And Tim, what I'm about to say, okay. I'm only speaking for Alex McFarland, and if I'm out of school, y'all reprimand me. If you're a born-again Christian and you vote Democrat, you're either in sin or being willfully ignorant. And let me explain, because look, as a born-again believer, I'm a steward, not an owner. I own nothing. I am owned. My job as a born-again Christian is to get up every morning and serve my Savior and love my spouse and family. All right? So if I have this opportunity to make a difference by being a citizen and voting, and I have a chance to vote for things that are moral and lawful and contribute to the Great Commission, and I could vote against transgenderism, taking away parents' rights, betraying Israel, opening the border, undercutting our Constitution, squandering an America that people gave their lives to give us. If I can vote for the good, why would I vote for the bad? And so I'm going to appeal to everybody listening, if you're a born-again believer, look, if Trump becomes the nominee, look, most people say, oh, he's mean, I don't like him. I'm not asking you to take him on vacation. I'm not asking you to call him as your next pastor. But if it's a socialist, atheistic, immoral, anti-God world, and to your point about fixing the car, see, Biden will help you. You won't have a car or a gas stove. This is the socialist world, you know. Let's make sure nobody has anything.
If you do have a car in the garage, it'll have top secret documents in it.
Yeah, let me say the left wants this DEI score, right? Your social credit score. Imagine this, and believe me, this China is dabbling with this even now. It's like, oh, Mr. Vitagliano, I've heard you've spoken ill of transgenderism. Your smart car that we've allowed you to have, be a shame if it wouldn't crank in the morning.
Right.
So maybe you want to retract. So, folks, our ability not only as free, safe, prosperous Americans, but to live out and to be vocal about biblical truth that would save the souls of people. Tim, I just don't know how a born-again Christian could vote Democrat.
Okay, let me just say before we kick
we got a minute to go.
Okay, let me just say quickly, as a nonprofit, we cannot advise people to vote for one political party or another. So let's put it, Tim, in these terms: you should not vote for evil policies.
Yes,
you should vote for good policies. Right. Anyway, Tim, back to you,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, you can't put that toothpaste back in, though. What Alex just said.
It's me. It's my fault. Don't blame AFA. It's my fault.
He said we could rebuke him, though, didn't he?
North Carolina. Go talk to the peanut farmer.
Hey, one pass.
What now? What are you going to say? We got a minute to go.
Oh, sorry. I was about to get serious. Is it too soon?
No, I am serious.
I think it's too late.
It's too late?
Yes. No, go ahead.
Just a passage.
You got 30 seconds. Go.
Be poignant. Scripture. Be poignant. A passage of scripture of encouragement, Galatians chapter 6, tells us not to grow weary in doing good, because in due time we'll reap if we don't give up.
Yeah. Listen, the platform of the Democrat Party today and the things that they say and represent, for the by and large, they are anti-God. And they are anti-biblical, and they're anti-freedom, and they're anti-American. And that doesn't mean all Democrats are. There are varying degrees of them, but the party... The party platform and their leadership, they basically kicked out pro-life Democrats. They've kicked out Democrats like Joe Manchin with traditional values. So I don't, you know, that's
facts.
That's no secret. That's just fact.
All of this is against our Constitution.
Yeah, we'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.